All right, so today we're diving into a case that's, well, it's pretty fundamental for anyone dealing with online platforms, especially when it comes to, you know, user-generated content and copyright.
Yeah, this one's a biggie.
It is. We're talking about Perfect 10v GigaNews.
Ah, yes. Perfect 10v GigaNews, a classic.
A real landmark case.
Yeah.
And it really gets to the heart of a question that, frankly, is only getting more and more relevant. When can a platform be held responsible for, you know, copyright infringement that's happening because of its users?
Right, because we're talking about user uploads, user activity, all that stuff. And the internet, I mean, it basically runs on that kind of content sharing.
It does.
So this case really forces us to think about where that line is. When does a platform go from being this, you know, neutral space, this conduit, to actually being liable for what people are doing on it?
Exactly. And we'll get into all the nitty-gritty, the legal theories, the specifics of the case. But just to set the stage, we're dealing with Perfect 10, an adult content company, and they discovered a whole bunch of their, well, their copyrighted images were ending up on GigaNews Usenet servers.
Usenet. Now that takes me back.
Right. Bit of a blast from the past.
Yeah.
But the key here is that it wasn't GigaNews themselves uploading these images. It was their users.
Ah, so that right there is a crucial distinction.
Huge. And of course, Perfect 10, they weren't too thrilled about this. They sent out like a ton of DMCA takedown notices to GigaNews.
Trying to get that content off the platform.
Exactly. But Perfect 10 felt that GigaNews' response, well, it was inconsistent, and that ultimately led them to file a lawsuit.
Makes sense.
They alleged direct infringement, contributory infringement, and vicarious infringement. So they basically threw the whole book at GigaNews.
Yeah, they went all in. And the case itself, I mean, it's a bit of a legal roller coaster. It starts in district court, and most of Perfect 10's claims dismissed. But then the court hits Perfect 10 with a, well, with a pretty hefty bill for attorney's fees.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about like $5.6 million.
Oof. Not exactly pocket change.
Not at all. So naturally, Perfect 10 appeals, takes it to the Ninth Circuit, but the Ninth Circuit, they basically affirmed the lower court's ruling.
So double whammy for Perfect 10.
Basically. And then, just to add another layer to this whole thing, GigaNews actually tried to add Perfect 10's founder to the judgment.
Ooh, trying to hold them personally liable for those fees.
Yeah, but that, thankfully for the founder, didn't fly with the court. So you've got the background. Now let's dig into the actual legal meat of this case.
Let's do it.
Starting with direct infringement. So for our listeners who may not be, you know, super familiar with copyright law, what are the elements that a copyright holder, like Perfect 10 in this case, needs to prove to win a direct infringement claim?
Okay, so you're talking about the real nuts and bolts of a direct infringement case. You've got three main things a plaintiff needs to show. First, they have to prove they actually own a valid copyright in the work that's allegedly being infringed.
So in this case, Perfect 10 had to prove they own the copyrights to those images.
Exactly. That's step one. Then they have to show that one of their exclusive rights under the Copyright Act, specifically Section 106, has been violated. You know, things like making copies, distributing the work, displaying it publicly, creating new works based on the original, all those exclusive rights that copyright holders have.
Okay, makes sense. So they have to show their copyright exists and that someone messed with it in a way they're not allowed to.
Right. But here's where it gets a little trickier. And this is really the core of the Perfect 10 case. They also have to demonstrate volitional conduct on the part of the defendant.
Volitional conduct. All right, now we're getting to the good stuff. What does that even mean?
It boils down to intent. The defendant, in this case GigaNews, had to have knowingly and intentionally caused the infringement to happen. It's not enough that infringement just happened to occur on their platform. They have to have played an active role in making that specific infringement happen.
So it's about like a deliberate act, not just something that passively happened on their watch.
Exactly. And that's where the whole debate in the Perfect 10 case really centered. Did GigaNews, just by running these Usenet servers and offering their MIMO reader tool, were they actively distributing or reproducing Perfect 10's images, even though they didn't upload the images themselves?
Right, because remember, GigaNews' argument was, hey, it's our users who are uploading this stuff, not us.
Precisely. Yeah. So the court had to really grapple with that question of volition.
Interesting. Okay, so that's direct infringement. But we also have secondary liability, which, as we mentioned, includes contributory and vicarious infringement. Can you break down the differences between those and what Perfect 10 had to prove for each of those claims?
Sure. So contributory infringement. Think of it like this. Perfect 10 had to show, first, that GigaNews knew about the infringement happening on their servers. Now, they didn't have to know about every single infringing image, but they had to have some general awareness that copyright infringement was going on.
So like a turning a blind eye kind of thing.
Exactly. And second, Perfect 10 had to show that Giga News actually contributed to that infringement in some meaningful way. This could mean providing the tools or the means for the infringement to happen, or even actively encouraging it.
So providing the platform itself could be seen as a contribution.
Potentially, yes. It depends on the specific circumstances and how the platform is being used. Now, vicarious infringement, this one shifts the focus a bit. It's less about direct knowledge of the infringing act and more about the relationship between the platform and the infringer and any financial benefits the platform might be getting from the infringement.
Okay, so like if the platform was profiting from the infringing content.
Exactly. So to win a vicarious infringement claim, Perfect 10 had to prove two things. First, that Giga News had the right and the ability to supervise or control the infringing conduct. This often comes down to whether the platform has the technical ability to remove or block infringing content.
Like if they had the tools to take down the images but chose not to.
Right. And second, Perfect 10 had to show that Giga News was actually making money off of the infringement. And this is important. The financial benefit has to be directly linked to the infringement itself, not just, you know, general profits from running the platform.
So they had to show that Giga News was specifically profiting from having those Perfect 10 images on their servers.
Exactly. It had to be a direct connection. So those are the legal frameworks. Now let's see how the court applied these to the Perfect 10 case and why they ultimately ruled in favor of Giga News.
All right, let's break it down, starting with direct infringement. Why did a court find Giga News not directly liable for the copyright infringement?
Well, the court really zeroed in on the automated nature of Giga News servers and their MIMO reader tool, which basically showed users content that had been uploaded by other users. The court's reasoning was that Giga News was acting passively, automatically. The system responded to user uploads and requests, but Giga News wasn't actively selecting or transmitting Perfect 10's images.
So like a digital postman just delivering whatever shows up in the mailbox, no questions asked.
Exactly. They drew a clear distinction from the Aereo case, which involved a service that was intentionally transmitting broadcast television signals. The court said, look, Giga News isn't doing that. They're not intentionally picking and choosing which content to transmit. They're just providing the infrastructure.
That distinction from the Aereo case seems pretty crucial here.
It is. The key difference is active versus passive. Choosing and transmitting specific content versus simply hosting a platform where users can share whatever they want.
Got it. So no volitional conduct on the part of Giga News when it came to direct infringement.
Right. Perfect 10 tried to argue that just the act of Giga News servers copying the images was enough for direct infringement, but the court wasn't buying it. They said, you know, that's just the system working as designed. It's not an intentional act by Giga News themselves.
Interesting. All right, let's move on to contributory infringement. Perfect 10 argued that Giga News could have done more to prevent the infringement. They claimed there were simple measures Giga News could have taken. Why didn't that argument convince the court?
There are a few reasons. First, the court said Perfect 10 didn't really prove that Giga News had specific knowledge of the infringing activity. Yes, Giga News got those DMCA notices, but the court pointed out that there were problems with how those notices were formatted. It made it harder for Giga News to actually find and remove the infringing content.
So, like, the notices weren't specific enough or something?
Right. They weren't as clear as they needed to be. And more importantly, the court didn't see any proof that Giga News had actually encouraged the infringement. Perfect 10's argument about simple measures, it didn't really stick. The court didn't see any clear-cut steps that Giga News had unreasonably failed to take. Basically, Perfect 10 couldn't show that Giga News had contributed to the infringement in a way that would make them liable.
Okay, that makes sense. And lastly, let's tackle vicarious liability. Why did the court reject Perfect 10's claim on this one?
The big sticking point here was financial benefit. Remember, for vicarious liability, Perfect 10 had to prove that Giga News was making money directly from the infringement of their copyrighted images. And the court just didn't see that direct connection. Yes, Giga News had subscribers who paid for their Usenet service, but the court emphasized that those subscribers were paying for access to a huge range of content, not specifically for Perfect 10's images.
They were paying for the whole buffet, not just one specific dish.
Precisely. The court said, look, there's no proof that those images were a major draw for subscribers, or that Giga News was making money specifically because of those images.
So the financial benefit, it was too general. It wasn't tied directly to the infringement.
Exactly. That's what sank the vicarious liability claim.
Got it. Now, before we wrap up, we have to talk about those attorney's fees.
Yeah.
$5.6 million, that's a huge amount. Why did the court think that was justified?
Well, the Copyright Act actually allows courts to award attorney's fees to the winning side in copyright cases. And in this case, the court looked at a few things. First, Gege News had successfully defended against all of Perfect 10's claims. And second, the court kind of felt that Perfect 10's case was weak from the start. They didn't really have strong evidence to back up their claims. The court also made an interesting point. They said that defending against weak copyright claims can actually be just as important as winning a case where there's real infringement. It helps to clarify the limits of copyright law, especially in the digital world, and it can encourage innovation by protecting platforms that are acting in good faith.
Makes sense. And we also can't forget Gege News' attempt to add Perfect 10's founder to the judgment, trying to hold them personally responsible for those fees. Why didn't that work out?
Gege News was basically using what's called the alter ego doctrine. It's a legal principle that lets courts go after individuals if they're basically using a company as a shield for their own actions. But to do that, you have to prove that the company and the individual are basically one and the same, and that letting the company be separate would lead to some huge injustice.
So, like, if the founder was using the company as their personal piggy bank and doing shady stuff.
Right. But the court didn't see that in this case. They said Gege News didn't prove there was enough of a connection between the company and the founder to justify piercing the corporate veil.
So in the end, the founder dodged a bullet there. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. Let's try to distill some key takeaways from this Perfect 10 v. Gege News case. What are the big legal principles that it established or reinforced?
I think the biggest one is the importance of volitional conduct when it comes to direct copyright infringement. The court really emphasized that, especially for online platforms that are largely automated.
They're not directly liable just because infringement happens to occur on their platform.
Right. They have to be actively involved in making that infringement happen.
And what about secondary liability, both contributory and vicarious?
Well, for contributory infringement, it's about knowledge and material contribution. The platform has to know about the infringement and actually contribute to it in some way. And the court made it clear that just having the ability to take some theoretical, simple measures isn't enough.
So platforms aren't expected to be mind readers or have every possible anti-infringement tool in place.
Exactly. And they also emphasized the importance of those DMCA notices being properly formatted and specific.
So copyright holders, you got to get your paperwork right.
Absolutely. And then for vicarious liability, it all comes down to that direct financial benefit. The platform has to be making money specifically because of the infringement, not just general profits from the platform as a whole.
Got it. So platforms, be careful about how you make money and don't tie it too closely to specific infringing content.
Right.
Any memorable quotes from the ruling that really sum up these points?
Oh, yeah. A couple that really stand out. The court said, and I'm quoting here, "Direct infringement requires volitional conduct. This is a major hurdle that plaintiffs will face when seeking to hold passive online platforms directly liable for the actions of their users."
So basically they're saying, don't come after platforms unless you can prove they were actively involved in the infringement.
Exactly. And then on the issue of attorney's fees, the court said something really interesting. "A successful defense can further Copyright Act policies just like a prosecution."
Meaning that sometimes defending against a weak copyright claim can be just as important for the law as winning a case where there's clear infringement.
Right. It helps to define the boundaries of copyright law, especially in the digital age.
Makes sense. Now, for our listeners who really want to dig into the nuances here, let's play a little what-if game. What if Gege News had actually promoted or advertised Perfect 10's content? Like, what if they had banners on their site saying, check out all the great Perfect 10 images here? How do you think that would have changed things?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that would have significantly changed the court's analysis, especially when it comes to contributory infringement and vicarious liability.
That's so.
Well, if Gege News was actively promoting that content, it would be a lot harder for them to claim that they didn't know about the infringement or that they weren't encouraging it. In fact, they'd be actively directing users to that content.
So it'd be a lot easier to prove inducement for contributory infringement.
Absolutely. And it would also make it much easier to establish that direct financial benefit for vicarious liability. If Gege News is using Perfect 10's images as a selling point to attract subscribers, then it's clear they're profiting directly from the infringement.
So in that scenario, Gege News might have ended up on the hook for infringement.
Quite possibly. It really highlights how important it is for platforms to maintain a degree of neutrality. They can provide the space, the tools, but they shouldn't be actively pushing infringing content.
So what's the big takeaway for platforms that are trying to avoid copyright liability?
Stay neutral. Comply with the DMCA. And don't encourage infringement. Stick to those principles and you'll significantly reduce your risk.
And for copyright holders, what's the key lesson from this case?
Be careful about who you go after. Make sure you have a strong case, especially when it comes to those key elements of volition and causation. Because if you go after a platform with a weak claim, you could end up paying a hefty price.
Some expensive lessons learned there. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into a really important case. Thanks for walking us through it all.
My pleasure. It's a case that's still incredibly relevant today as we continue to grapple with the complexities of copyright law in the digital world.
It definitely is. And for our listeners, I encourage you to think about these issues. How do we balance the rights of copyright holders with the need for open platforms and innovation? It's a question we're all going to be wrestling with for a long time to come.
Couldn't agree more. It's a complex landscape, and cases like Perfect 10 v. Gigi News provide some much-needed guidance.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
See you then.